This is Audible.
The Land, Swarm, a lit RPG saga, Chaos Seeds Book 5, written by Alaron Kong, M.D., the father of American lit RPG, narrated by Nick Podell. Law, the capital of Eve. A solitary figure stood in the burnt husk of a building. Night was falling. A trio of sailors passed by, unaware of the shadowed figure that stood not more than 20 feet away. The three seafaring men were gamblers who had already lost their coin, having paid more attention to the intentionally distracting prostitutes than their cards. Now, the friends were finding consolation in a bottle. They bemoaned their poor fortune, unaware that the points each of them had invested in luck kept them alive that night. If they had seen the man in the black cloak standing silently in the ruin of the warehouse, their next and last sight would have been a visage that had never known pity. The last rays of sunlight faded away, and the man moved for the first time in an hour. It was time. Guttural words of power spilled from his lips, and unseen black energy surrounded his hands. 5 seconds passed while he finished his spell. After the incantation was done, the darkest part of the ruined building began to stir, and a creature of dark magic became self-aware for the first time. A darkling. This was no summoned creature, but was instead a monster born and bred from the terror of murdered men. This fledgling creature may never have been fully awoken if left to its own destiny, but the will of the magician could not be denied. It rose from the darkness. The mage let it feed on the ambient anger and fear that still permeated the charred timbers, but only for a moment. Then he beckoned it with a will stronger than steel. Hating its master and itself, the creature obeyed the command and slinked across the room. Once in front of the man, it bent its head in angry subservience. The darkling began to speak. For an hour, the figure listened to the creature's story. He learned of the slaves that had been kept in the warehouse and about their rough treatment at the hands of the thieves who held them captive. He listened to the monster's account of a fierce battle that had claimed many lives. The man heard the fear in its voice as it described how the building had caught fire and how it had narrowly escaped destruction by hiding in the dark under a loose flagstone. He heard many things, but only one thing really interested the mage, and that was the person who started the fire. It took many questions for the simple creature to understand what was needed, but then it formed its ephemeral body into the shape of the arsonist's face. The figure leaned forward and saw the visage of his quarry for the first time. With a wave of his hand, the powerful dark paladin destroyed the darkling. The pitiful creature cried out as its young existence was extinguished, but the man barely noticed. All that mattered was that he was one step closer to his prey. The captain of the plague squad left the charred shell of the warehouse and slowly spoke the name of his quarry aloud, as if tasting it.
Richter.
Chapter 1, Day 110, Kuralt 29, 15,368 EBG. Richter kept running through the forest, rage building in his breast as he followed the distinctive trail. Some of the slower members of his party began to fall behind, sweat pouring from their faces. He forced himself up a hill and pushed through a stand of trees, seeing the meadow that extended below on the other side. There, only 100 yards away, he caught sight of a distinctive three-pointed crown. The rock giant looked up, its mouth smeared with blood, the body of a slain bear at its feet. When it saw him, it roared both in rage and recognition. Alma, hovering above, screamed back, and the adder raised its body 10 feet in the air and hissed. Richter drew his elementum short sword and roared back,
"Missed you too, motherfucker! You and I have unfinished business!"
Richter used Analyze, and in an instant knew much more about the monster. Name, Rock giant. Disposition, hatred. There are many different types of giants. Rock giants are solitary monsters, unlike other giants, which can have just as complex a social structure as average-sized humanoids. What rock giants lack in social graces, they more than make up for in ferocity, malevolence, and durability. Their skin acts as a formidable exoskeleton, blocking most damage. Level 15. Health, 1,610. Mana, 80. Stamina, 2,190. Strength, 93. Agility, 24. Dexterity, 31. Constitution, 161. Endurance, 219. Intelligence, 8. Wisdom, 7. Charisma, 4. Luck, 9. The fucking thing had gotten stronger! Richter ground his teeth in consternation. The giant's heavy tread shook the earth as it ate the distance between them. Richter took the time to send out two thoughts. Alma, side blast! Adder, circle around it! Then it was in front of him. The giant roared and swung a barrel-sized fist at Richter. The Chaos Seed spun to the right. One hand swung out to the side, gripping the hilt of his short sword, and the other began to contort into a particular configuration. As he finished the spin, his hand shot out, and he shouted, Tardi! Even as a blue glow enveloped the giant, slowing its attack and movement speed by 10%, Richter's green short sword raked across the monster's fist. The elementum blade scored cleanly in a line just below the knuckles, and a small spray of black blood covered the ground. In the past, Richter had barely been able to draw a single drop of blood from the 20-foot-tall beast. That had only been because of the magic of his shadow dagger, which had allowed him to ignore a portion of the giant's armor. Not so this time. The elementum blade gained plus 10% damage versus earth creatures, increasing the maximum damage of each strike to 36 to 41. Richter didn't know exactly what the armor rating of the giant was, but seeing that he could damage it, he didn't fucking care. A bloodthirsty smile broke across his face. The monster reared back with a roar. Just like last time, it seemed shocked that Richter had actually managed to injure it. While Richter watched it hold its injured fist, he realized that his ability to hurt it was most likely why its disposition towards him had worsened, from enmity to hatred. Despite the fact that Richter's blade was enough to harm the giant, the wound was still minor. It paused for barely a second before attacking again. The monster reached its other hand forward, ready to grasp Richter and crush the life out of him. He wasn't alone, though. Alma struck from above. Swooping down from the sky, she let loose her focused Psi Blast. The last time she had attacked the giant with concentrated psychic energy, the monster had barely been phased. This time, however, her Psi Blast was level 2. The attack could theoretically stun an opponent for 7 seconds, and perhaps for as long as 10 seconds when the beam was focused. The giant still had high mental resistance, but it couldn't just ignore the powerful emanations from the diminutive dragonling. Richter looked on in pleased awe as his cat-sized familiar caused the 20-foot-tall behemoth to collapse. The monster's body struck the ground with an earth-shaking thud. Richter had already started running towards the beast's head when he heard Sion call out, "What is that thing? Get away from it!" Ignoring the sprite's most likely sound advice, Richter shouted back, "It's something that you should be shooting!" Richter jumped onto the giant's chest and raised his sword high. His arm tensed to drive the elementum blade into the monster's face when its expression cleared, and it affixed him with a baleful gaze. Before Richter could complete his attack, a massive gray fist, 3 feet across, impacted against his left side. The Chaos Seed went flying. Almost completely dazed, he thought, "This happens way too often." A sprite arrow imbued with blue force struck the giant in the face, knocking its head back down into the ground. Alma added to the assault with a lightning bolt shot from her small body. The electricity broke across the giant's body, though, and it was unclear if it had a noticeable effect. The rock giant put its arms down to its sides and started to push itself up. A well-placed blue arrow struck the inside of its elbow and knocked it down again. Multiple shouts heralded the arrival of the rest of the war party. Richter hit the ground and rolled to lessen the force of the impact. The blow and subsequent impact took off 78 health, but his anger at the giant was so great that he surged back to his feet. He had landed more than 20 feet away, and from what he could see, he was missing all the fun. Calder was shouting up at the giant, his steel war door held before him. Tirad stood next to him, sword at the ready. The captain had his wooden shield on one arm for all the good it would do him against such a monstrosity. Cedrin stood just behind them, thrusting his spear at the giant to keep it off balance. Judging from the telltale purple-black flash Richter saw coming from the monster's chest, Bayon had just finished casting his laughing skull spell, and Jean was firing bolts of dark magic from his wand. Crom was approaching the giant from the right, hammer held ready. Sion was powering up an arrow, the blue from his imbue arrow skill getting brighter, and Yulindi had just released an arrow that spun of its own accord, showing the archer had used the subskill Drill Arrow. Richter smiled grimly. It was time to rejoin the party. Richter analyzed the giant and saw that despite the multiple attacks, it still had only lost 63 health. He realized that the risk of it grabbing and mauling one of his party was too great for him to allow the fight to continue as a melee.
"This isn't working!" he shouted to Sion. "Aim for more vulnerable spots!"
His companion didn't let up on his rate of fire, but he did shout back, "It is a rock monster! It doesn't have any vulnerable spots!" Richter realized that his friend was right. The giant's natural armor was just too tough. He had to do something about that. It was time to cast a new spell. With more than just a touch of trepidation, he once again prepared to use deep magic. Slamming his sword into the ground, he began moving both arms to start the complicated casting of Weak Aura Lance. It was a bold choice to dual cast it, but he put his faith in the increased mental fortitude from his psi bond with Alma. The spell began with both arms slowly windmilling in opposition to one another. While Richter cast his spell, Calder stepped forward with his shield held up, drawing the enemy's attention away from his fellow party member. The giant accepted his challenge. The huge monster kicked the guard as hard as he could. The sergeant caught the blow on his shield. It deflected a large amount of the damage but couldn't stop the pure kinetic force that had been created by the giant's blow. The heavy metal slab dented and Calder's shoulder dislocated. The man might have flown back, but the heavy weight of the war door kept him grounded. Instead, Calder collapsed backward, the shield falling over him like a blanket. The giant raised its other foot to stomp down on the guard, but Tirad saved his fellow guardsman. He ran forward and placed his body between the giant and Calder, his longsword thrust upward. The cobalt blade sank between the toes of the giant's foot. The dusky gray sword lacked the power of Richter's elementum shortsword, but was still able to penetrate the giant's rocky skin. The blade buried into the sensitive webbing of the monster's foot. Still unaccustomed to pain, it reared back, bellowing. The dazed sergeant was spared, and Tirad breathed a sigh of relief that he hadn't been squashed into jelly. While the monster was off balance, Crom ran up and swung his ebony hammer into the giant's ankle. The large black sledge impacted the rock monster's gray skin with a heavy crunch. The tough exoskeleton fractured, and once more, the giant toppled to the ground with a resounding thud. The dwarven smith shouted in victory. The power of his ebony warhammer of crippling wasn't just its high damage potential. Until the effect wore off, the giant's movement speed would be reduced by 37%. Crom ran back out of its reach. It was time for the ranged attackers to have some fun. Cedrin and Tirad were able to pull the still discombobulated Calder away from the giant. Bayon cast another laughing skull spell, which impacted against the monster's side. The effect of the spell was questionable, but the next attack clearly did some damage. Sion finally released the arrow that he had been imbuing for long seconds. The arrow streaked down from the hill he was standing on and struck the giant in the chest. Already lying down, there was no room for it to be rocked back. The force of Sion's strike acted like a hammer pounding the giant into the anvil of the earth. Its natural armor cracked, It grabbed its chest in pain. It screamed at the injustice of its own newly discovered mortality. The giant's view of the world and its own place in it was being rocked by its having finally come up against opponents it couldn't easily dominate. The ranged fighters and magi kept up their withering fire, incrementally chipping away at the giant's health points. Air Mage Jean supported the group in the background, continually recasting weak haste when he could. At Scion's shouted order, everyone had spread out to encircle the giant, not giving it a concentrated knot of enemies to attack. Despite its natural armor, the fighters served to distract it until Richter's spell was completed. As Richter had been casting, waves of black energy tinged with gold had been emanating from his body like heat from the desert. The effect had started on his hands and then spread to his arms. A second ripple of energy began to emanate from the center of his chest. The waves from both locations seemed to feed off of one another, creating a turbulence of spirit power directly in front of Richter. Several seconds into the casting, a small kernel of black power appeared in the center of the turbulence. It swiftly grew to the size of an orange, then a softball, and finally a basketball. Gold lightning danced across the surface of the sphere. Richter had continued the 10-second casting, each word becoming more difficult to say until it felt like his mouth was full of sand. He had begun to worry that his choice to dual cast the spell had been a mistake. To make matters worse, his mind had begun to play out scenarios of just how horrific the backlash from a failed deep magic spell would be. Ultimately, though, he persevered. Richter could see his friends risking their lives against his dangerous foe. His will firmed, and he pushed through the last seconds of the spell. The ball of gold and black energy rocketed away. The spherical spell form shot towards the giant, lengthening as it flew. After 5 yards, it was an oval. After 10 yards, it was a cylinder. And after 15 yards, it was a javelin that flickered between being a light-sucking black and a brilliant, shining gold, millisecond to millisecond. The javelin flew unerringly towards the giant. The accuracy of the spell was governed by Richter's 28 points of agility, by no means a paltry number. Taking into account the size of the giant, its slowed combat speed, lower agility, and the scant distance between Richter and his target, the monster had no hope to evade. The flickering javelin struck the rock giant directly in the chest, and the results were spectacular. As soon as the spell impacted against the monster, the javelin disappeared and the rock giant's skin fractured. Cracks raced through its skin, making pieces no larger than Richter's palm. The pieces began to peel off, like ash being blown away in the wind. Each piece was millimeter thin and broke apart into nothing once free of the giant. The entire process took only seconds, and when it was complete, the rock giant looked exactly the same as before. All fighting ceased as everyone present, including the monster, waited to see if anything else would happen. There wasn't any outward change, but Richter accessed his combat log, and what he saw made him smile. Richter has struck the rock giant with dual-cast weak aura lance. All spell-type resistances decreased by 11.8%. Any resistance dropping below 0% will cause a resultant susceptibility to that spell type.
It's weaker to magic now! Richter shouted. Take it apart!
Richter wasn't sure if the giant could actually understand him, but it hated him with a molten anger. Ignoring everyone else, it started to lumber towards him, if you could call the sprint of a 20-foot-tall raging monster a lumber. Bravely, and perhaps foolishly, Richter pulled his short sword out of the ground and prepared to meet it. He shouted his defiance.
Come on, pretty girl. I've got something for you.
He sent out a mental call and rushed forward. Richter had never felt the battle high like this before. There was no doubt in his heart or mind that he was going to crush his enemy. A cackle of wild abandon escaped his lips as he ran towards his foe. His motions were noticeably faster than the giant's, but its large size still let it cover ground fairly quickly. Scion, Bayon, Jean, and Ulindi shot the giant in the back, staggering it somewhat, but it kept running. Tarad and Cedrin immediately began to give chase, but they were too far away, having pulled Calder to a safe distance. Krom raised his hammer to attack the giant as it ran by, but was knocked down by a backhand from the monster. The dwarf hit the ground in a heap and didn't move. Richter sent a quick order to Alma to heal the smith. The two foes sprinted towards each other, and for a moment, nothing else existed except for their shared hatred. When the giant was only 10 yards away, the gray humanoid stumbled suddenly and fell onto its face. In its blind rage and need to harm Richter, the giant had failed to notice the grass-green body of the shale adder shoot forward between its ankles. The 20-foot snake interwove between the giant's legs and brought it down. Richter grinned, and his eyes widened maniacally. He stood before his face-planted foe and raised his short sword high into the air before plunging it down into the back of the giant's head. A foot of clear green metal sunk into his enemy's skull. It screamed in agony, more than half of its total health gone in an instant. Richter hadn't been sure of its physiology and didn't know if the blow would kill it outright, but he was glad it was still alive. He reached into his bag and whispered with a smile, "Like a spider monkey." He pulled out the quicksilver collar of submission and swung it around the screaming giant's neck. "You're mine!" Richter shouted in triumph. He reached out with his other hand to grab the free end of the collar. With a mighty pull, he brought the two ends together. Or at least, he tried to. The damn thing wouldn't fit. He pulled two more times in desperation, but he just couldn't get the two ends to meet. After the third attempt, it vaguely entered his consciousness that the giant's latest scream of pain had sounded more like a roar of rage. In the next instant, a grotesque and powerful hand reached back and partially encircled the Chaos Seed's chest. The giant picked Richter up off of its back and swung him forward, suplexing the Chaos Seed into the ground, face first. Only luck kept his neck from being snapped. Despite that, he lost consciousness immediately. The next thing he knew, he could hear loud shouts and the sounds of battle. Richter knew he needed to get up, but he couldn't seem to open his eyes. All he could see was his interface blinking furiously with waiting information. One icon was flashing red. With a thudding of his heart, he realized it was the icon that signified Alma. She had only 24 health points left. Richter struggled to open his eyes. When he managed it, the sunlight made his already agonizing headache flare into the worst migraine of his life. Through pure strength of will, he forced himself to ignore the pain and focus on his minimap to find Alma's location. She was only 10 feet away. Stumbling forward, he immediately fell prey to a bout of extreme vertigo and collapsed back to the ground. Vomit spilled out of his mouth and over his chest. Richter forced himself back up, crawling as much as stumbling towards his familiar. He looked at her blearily. It was difficult to focus, but what he saw made his heart clench. His familiar's beautiful body leaked red blood from multiple locations. A large swath of her scales were also missing. One wing was mangled, and her left leg and arm were jutting out in unnatural directions. She raised her head weakly at Richter's approach. All she could communicate psychically, though, was pain. Casting a spell wasn't an option. He could barely see straight. Thankfully, there was another option. He stuck his hand in his bag and accessed his inventory. For the first time, it took several attempts to make the 20x20 grid appear. He withdrew several health potions. The first went to Alma. Richter poured the red potion down her throat, not stopping even as she coughed and sputtered. Each small convulsion spread pain through his familiar's body, and through their shared psi bond, Richter experienced his share of it as well. He almost swooned, but he kept going, knowing that if he didn't increase her HPs immediately, he might lose the dragonling. That was not an option. Once she had ingested the health potion, her health immediately began to rise. Satisfied, Richter poured 3 vials down his throat at once. Taking the potions at the same time wouldn't increase his rate of health regeneration, but it would increase the total amount of health restored. Then he fed another potion to Alma. This time, the dragonling took it eagerly. Richter sank down on his butt, exhausted even by the faint exertion of feeding Alma. As he sat there, the Chaos Seed heard cries of pain and the crunch of metal on rock. He knew that this should matter, but his head wound prevented him from grasping exactly why. The magic of the potions continued to do its work, though, and after a few minutes, he could start to think coherently again. Richter still felt extremely confused. Being able to concentrate enough to cast spells was out of the question, but he could at least see what was going on. For the second time in minutes, his heart dropped. The giant had laid waste to his war party. It stood tall, with Richter's short sword still sticking out of its head, the fourth spike for its crown. Crom was back on his feet and was still swinging his hammer, but the dwarf lazed drunkenly, clearly not fully recovered from the giant's backhand. As Richter watched, Crom swung his hammer in a horribly aimed strike and missed the giant completely. His momentum spun him around, and he fell to the ground. The dwarf looked around groggily. Cedrin's spear was sticking out of the giant's side, but the guard was down on the ground. Calder stood over him with his dented war door held up, but the sergeant bled freely from a scalp wound. The man had a beleaguered expression on his face while he weathered a blow from the giant. The war door rung like a bell. Tarad was down as well, 20 yards away, moaning and holding his leg. Richter could see a shard of bone extending out of it. Bayon and Jean lay in a crumpled pile nearby. Richter couldn't tell if they were alive or dead. The giant's body looked like a pincushion of arrows, but Ulindian's scion had been unable to bring it down. They had apparently irritated the monster, though. While Richter watched, the rock giant untangled the adder from about its legs. Then, using it like a living whip, the monster swung the 20-foot-long reptile at the archers. Ulindi dodged out of the way, but Scion was struck by the snake's head. The sprite was knocked off of his feet and flipped end over end before landing in a heap. Richter could barely think straight, but he was pretty sure he heard his friends say, "Motherfucker!" in sprite speak. Alma screeched and pulled his attention back to her.
"I need one more potion, Master. Please."
Richter drunkenly reached into his bag again and produced a red vial. He poured it down Alma's throat, while in the background he heard a resounding clang. Again, he knew that he should care more about what was happening, but all he could focus on was Alma. A good deal of the bleeding had stopped, but her scales had not regenerated and her wing remained mangled. Despite that, when she spoke in his mind, the dragonling's voice was cold and determined.
"Pick me up and point me at the giant master. Pick me up now."
Richter did as he was told, his will little better than an automaton's. He picked up the dragonling, who hissed when he jostled her damaged wing. He stood slowly and almost fell, but was able to keep his feet. As soon as he was relatively stable, he extended his arms slightly in the direction of the giant. A yellow glow surrounded his familiar's small body, and a second later a bolt of lightning streaked towards the monster. The giant's fist was raised to pound on Calder's defense again. Unlike the first time lightning had struck the giant, this time there was a clear effect. Its body arched, and it let out a short roar before falling to the ground. The Aura Lance had done its job. Alma turned her sinuous neck to look at Richter and thought,
"Order the snake to bind its arm, then run over to the body. We have to finish this."
Richter lumbered forward and sent a mental command, as he had been told. The shale adder stirred from where the giant had thrown it against a tree. After a few moments, it started to snake forward. Even though it was injured, it wrapped itself around one of the giant's arms. The animal looped around the giant's limb and then flowed around its neck. Its grip began to tighten. No real damage was done, but it did serve to immobilize that one arm. Richter kept closing the distance between himself and the giant. 40 feet, 30 feet, and then 20. Alma looked at Calder. The guard looked confused for a moment, but then dropped his shield and shambled towards the giant's head. It had recovered from the stun effect of Alma's lightning bolt and was in the process of reaching its free hand towards the shale adder. Alma gave one more order.
"Throw me towards its head, then grab its arm and keep it from harming me."
Part of Richter screamed that this was a horrible idea. It would place his familiar in further danger. That voice sounded garbled in his mind, though. The only thing that was clear in his addled consciousness was Alma's voice. He tossed her towards the giant's head and then grabbed the giant's arm. Richter wrapped his legs around the creature's bicep and extended his body along the rocky arm. He encircled the giant's wrist with both arms and arched his back, trying to keep its arms straight. Even with his 33 points of strength, he might not have been up to the task, but the giant had other things to worry about. His toss of Alma had been enough to get her into position. Her broken wing had almost made her lose consciousness when she landed, but pure spite kept her alive. This thing had dared to harm her master, and she would make it pay. She landed just to the left of the giant's head. Wasting no time, she crossed the few remaining inches and latched onto the side of the monster's face. After casting a short spell, she attacked with brain drain. She had tried this attack earlier in the battle after Richter had been injured. Not knowing what else she could do to help her helpless master, Alma had latched onto the giant's rocky head. The monster had failed to succumb to the mental attack and had swatted her off like a bothersome fly. Though its blow had been almost absent-minded, the assault had still savaged her small body. While she tried the special attack again, she focused on her anger rather than her fear as she drained the giant's life away. The rock giant strained both arms, trying to reach the dragonling that was killing it. The shale adder tightened its grip further, and Richter screamed unintelligibly as he strained to keep the giant's right arm immobile. Both man and snake were unequal to the task. Despite the efforts of the beast and its master, both of the monster's arms slowly bent towards its face, eager to crush the life from Alma's body. The giant's left hand was only a foot away from the dragonling when Calder finally reached his goal. Following Alma's previous mental command, the guard seized the elementum short sword sticking out of the creature's head. A twist and a thrust shoved the remaining foot of metal deeper into the giant's brain and stole its remaining health. All strength left the giant's rocky limbs, and both arms fell back. Richter's already damaged head hit the ground, and all he knew was blackness as a rainbow swirl of light encircled his body. Chapter 2, Day 111, Qyburn 1, 15,368 EBG. Richter woke up naked in his bedchamber. A mist light hovered above his head, the soft gray light softening the edges of everything in the room. Looking to the side, he could see that Alma lay next to him in the bed. A white bandage encircled her body, binding her wings down and in place, though her arms and legs were free. Her limbs all appeared to have been healed. She slept fitfully next to him, her breathing easy. A peace came over him at seeing her in good health, despite the fact that she apparently needed a bit more healing. Richter checked his internal clock. It was 2:43 a.m. He sent out a mental call to Futin. He desperately wanted to know what had happened after he had passed out. His memories after his head had been driven into the ground were fragmented. He was only able to recall bits and pieces of the subsequent battle. Despite his curiosity, Richter didn't see any good coming from running around in the middle of the night looking for answers. Hopefully, the remnant would be able to fill him in. Also, the fact that his war party was still active told him that less than 24 hours had passed. All members of his party appeared as an icon on his mini-map, so he felt safe in assuming that the rest of his party had made it back to the village safely. Otherwise, their dot would have disappeared, though he realized he might have just been using game logic. Richter decided to just wait for Futin to receive confirmation. Plus, now that he was becoming more awake, he realized that his entire body felt like it had been worked over by a gang of angry carnies. He let out a small groan. A guard peeked his head into the room.
Lord Richter, you are awake!
Yeah, I am. Richter replied softly, wishing the man wouldn't speak so loudly.
What can I do for you, my lord?
The guard asked at the same level. Richter winced slightly.
A glass of water would be great, man.
The guard's face turned doubtful.
I'm not supposed to leave you unattended.
Richter nodded.
And I appreciate that, but I am awake now. I'm rested and feeling much better. Please, grab me the water. I'm parched.
The guard nodded and left. Richter eased his head back down onto his pillow and closed his eyes. In the corner of his vision, there was a flashing notification icon. Not having anything else to do, he mentally clicked on it. The first message set his heart racing. You have suffered an injury. Severe skull fracture. Causes negative 75% intelligence, wisdom, charisma, and concentration. Richter's hand immediately shot up to check his head. Stopping at the last minute from searching his skull vigorously, he started to feel his scalp with light touches. Not feeling any soft spots or deformities, he checked his stats. He breathed out a sigh of relief when he saw that the debuff had been removed. That sigh turned into a grunt of discomfort because even this small arm movement shot pain through his body. Thank Abrams and Whedon for Sumiko. He couldn't think of any other reason why he wasn't a vegetable. His health potions and healing spells couldn't even heal bone, let alone mend something complicated like a skull fracture. Richter started thinking that he would have to do something nice for the old sprite, like get her a fruit basket, or a gigolo. He started to chuckle to himself, but it made his baseline headache flare. Realizing that he might have just been the recipient of instant karma, he kept going through his prompts. The next one had been auto-minimized, as it was from mid-battle. It made him realize that there might be an argument for having some prompts appear in an unobtrusive way while fighting. This one could have saved him a lot of pain. You are attempting to use an item, Quicksilver Collar of Submission, on a creature of the wrong size. This item may only be used on medium or small creatures. Take it to an enchanter if you wish for it to be resized. Richter grimaced. Well, that explained about the collar not fitting. He had just thought it was too small, but it turned out that certain items were graded for certain beings. From his first lore book, he remembered that humans, elves, and dwarves were considered medium in size. A sprite or goblin would most likely be considered small, though he didn't know what a half-blood like Yoshi would be. He guessed he would put the rock giant in the too-fucking-big category. In retrospect, Richter realized it had been a dumb risk to stand over a still-living behemoth and try to capture it, not once, but three times. As he thought about it, that particular moment felt surreal. He could only remember that it had felt like he was riding a high. In his mind, he had been untouchable, and he could remember believing at a core level that anything he wanted could come true just because he willed it. Was that the consequence of using spirit magic? He asked himself. Richter took a long, slow breath. Deep magic was powerful, but it was clearly also dangerous. He resolved to learn more about it and practice it in controlled conditions before relying on it again in battle. Before he got back to going through his prompts, though, he remembered one other thing about using spirit magic that was even more disturbing. He had loved the way it felt, and right now was eager to use it again. Richter didn't feel ready to deal with the implications of that yet, so he went on to the next notification. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 13 in light armor, plus 26% to defense of all light armor. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in beast bonding, plus 2% effectiveness to tame, plus 2% attack and defense to bonded creatures. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 9 in war leader, plus 9% effective distance, plus 9% attack and defense for all allies. You have completed the quest Hunters or Hunted 2. The dangerous creature your hunters had noted was the same rock giant that you had met previously. The monster had marked you for death for having the audacity to wound it previously. Nonetheless, you and your war party have vanquished it. Plus 100% experience for your entire war party for vanquishing a mortal enemy of their leader. Reward, 37,500 experience. Reward, restoration of full hunting grounds for the Mist Village. Reward, village-wide loyalty, +5, +10 for hunters. Reward, +100 relationship points with village hunters. You have trapped the soul of a rock giant, soul level luminous. Richter paused again and accessed his inventory. Seeing a new glowing soul stone, he read the description and saw that indeed it contained the soul of the rock giant. Richter smiled and crooked his index finger at the inventory window, waving to the captured creature.
"Hey, asshole,"
he said quietly but with intense satisfaction. The collar may not have worked, but he would take the soul as a consolation prize. More than pleased, he went through the rest of the prompts. For slaying one rock giant, you have been awarded 5 war points. Total war points, 271. You have been awarded 10,101 experience from Brain Drain against level 15 rock giant. You have reached level 31. Through hard work, you have moved forward along your path. As a Chaos Seed, you gain 6 points to distribute to characteristics instead of the usual 4. You also receive 15 talent points instead of the usual 10. +5 talent points for 100% affinity in enchanting. You also get 25% advancement to the skill of your choice. Crush your enemies. Honor your allies. Live! You have 18 unused characteristic points, 75% of unused skill growth, and 205 talent points to allocate. Now that you have progressed again, you must allocate your points within the next week, or they will randomly be assigned for you. Your familiar has reached level 28. Futin had floated into the room while Richter was going through the prompts. With a final smile, Richter dismissed his last notification. Focusing on the remnant, he asked, "How did I get back here?"
"I believe that you were carried back to the village by Smith Crom, my lord."
Richter nodded. "Did all of the members of the war party make it back safely?" The light at the center of the gray orb pulsed.
"There were several injuries, some quite serious. None were fatal, however. Lady Sumiko and her healers fixed the damage."
Richter exhaled a small sigh of relief. His assumption about the war party had been correct. "What about my snake? The shale adder?"
"That is on the floor, Lord Richter,"
came the monotone reply. "What?" Richter shouted, sitting up quickly. The movement made his headache flare again, but it didn't stop him from peering over the edge of the bed. Sure enough, after a second, he picked out the form of the snake blending in with the gray marble of the floor. It raised its head upon hearing the bed creak, and its red tongue flicked out of its mouth before it lay back down again. Richter was seriously creeped out. Every child learned there weren't any monsters under the bed, but he had just learned that there was a monster under his bed. If he had stepped on the damn thing without knowing it was there, he might have been horribly scarred for years. Not to mention that a shriek of fright would not be in keeping with the badass aesthetic he was trying to cultivate. Happy that the snake still seemed to be under control, Richter still couldn't resist asking. "And everyone was okay with just leaving this giant predator resting under my bed?"
"When you were brought into the room, one of the villagers actually mentioned that very point, my lord. No one seemed willing to try and lay hands on the snake to stop it from following you, however. I believe it was decided to simply trust in the power you had over the beast."
"Uh-huh," Richter said. Not that anyone would have known how long his control would actually last. After what had happened last time, he wasn't even sure if he could risk casting Tame again. The blood magic had seemingly taken away his self-control. He had tirelessly disarmed the Asengai Queen's traps, not even considering that staying in a monster lair for hours might be a bad idea. He couldn't even say that his decision to charge after the rock giant's trail wasn't influenced by the blood magic, and he had done that hours after he cast the spell. It was true that he probably would have followed the trail either way, but thinking about it now, attacking a 20-foot-tall rock monster head-on after calling it out, no less, seemed the height of idiocy. It was clear that using weak aura lance was not completely safe either. Even though the 24-hour cooldown hadn't expired yet, he was already itching to use it again. It had felt so good. Richter shook his head. The deep magics were definitely more dangerous than wielding the basic elements. It was so frustrating, though. The power of blood and spirit magic was incredible. The high-level monster, lying under his bed, meek as a freshly born puppy, was proof of that. That meant that he would have to cast Tame again soon, otherwise the snake would once again become a feral monster. It was also arguable that without weak aura lance, the war party might not have overcome the rock giant. The son of a bitch had been tough. "Gah!" Richter exclaimed, slapping the bed.
"Hmm? What is wrong, master?"
Alma thought at him sleepily. Richter immediately felt bad at having awoken his injured familiar. He could see that her health bar was blessedly full, but Sumiko must have had a reason for binding her wings.
"It's nothing, my love. Go back to sleep," he thought to her soothingly.
Rather than following his instruction, though, Alma straightened her legs and arms and stood up. She walked over to his face and licked his cheek.
"I know that you want to protect me, master, but I'm not the simple creature that I was when you summoned me. I am your soul familiar, and I am here to help you. Tell me what is wrong."
Richter was taken aback by her gentle but firm tone. He could not argue with what she said. Alma had progressed massively since he had torn a hole in reality to summon her. The gaze she directed towards him was focused and intent. He decided he deserved the rebuke.
"You're right, Alma. I'm sorry. I do need to share more with you. What I'm concerned about is how out of control I feel when I use blood or spirit magic. Dangerous or not, though, I can't just ignore the power those magics offer. I need to find a way to control myself."
The Dragonling continued to stare at him intently.
"I think I can help with that, master. My race has strong mental defenses. These defenses protect Psi Dragonlings from dangers without, but also from those within. Our Psi Bond gives you unconscious access to those same protections. With my help, you can begin to consciously use those defenses to control yourself. This will be a journey of discovery for both of us, but I know in my heart that I can help you, master."
The mental tone of her words transmitted feelings of love and support. Richter smiled at her. "How do we start?" For the next few hours, Richter and Alma rested in bed and she gently pushed her way through his mind. During their communion, he also began to get flashes of her past life, and it was fascinating. She came from a world of dragons. Small and large, intelligent and bestial, dragons of all types were the dominant species of her planet. He wasn't able to get too many details, but what he did see was tantalizing. The level of understanding between them deepened in the same way that friendship deepened during a night of soulful sharing. She guided him through techniques of mental control that were instinctual to her kind, but instructed him in a way that transcended language. Concepts were offered to him at the speed of thought, and as they swam through each other's memories, they grew to know both each other and themselves better. The defensive techniques that Richter learned as they communed were rudimentary, but after hours of training, he had earned several prompts. "Know this. The journey to know oneself is a path without an end, but each step brings you closer to your truth. The mental training you have begun has long been honored by mystics and madmen. You have learned a new skill, self-awareness, plus 2% mental and emotional control per level. Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 2 through 7 in self-awareness, plus 14% mental and emotional control." They practiced various techniques through the night. Both master and familiar began to enjoy themselves as they launched mental attacks at one another, teaching and learning simultaneously. This continued into the morning, and they only stopped when Randolphus came into the room to check on his lord.
"You are awake,"
the Chamberlain said in greeting.
"Nice to see you too, Randy," Richter said with a faint smile.
Randolphus looked down at the adder on the floor and said,
"Could we speak in the conference room, my lord? And perhaps your, pet could stay here?"
Richter nodded and threw back the sheets. He took a set of clothes out of his bag and, while donning them, asked, "Do you know where my sword and armor are?"
"Your armor had apparently taken quite a beating, my lord. It is being repaired in the forge. I believe Captain Tarod took your sword there as well."
Richter nodded and finished dressing. They walked out of the room and over to the conference room. The snake started to stir, but Richter mentally ordered it to stay put, and it settled back down to the floor. Before leaving, Richter picked Alma up and placed the dragonling in her favorite spot atop his shoulders. As they walked, Randolphus asked,
"Are you a beast tamer now as well, my lord?
It seems that your powers know no bounds."
"Not exactly a tamer," Richter replied. "I do have a skill called beast bonding, though."
The Chamberlain stopped walking and looked at Richter sharply.
"Blood magic?"
Richter paused, interested both in the Chamberlain's reaction and his immediate knowledge of the skill. Instead of answering, he asked his own question. "What do you know about it?"
Randolphus's lips twitched in an effort to control his expression.
Finally, he said,
"I know that such magic is dangerous, my lord. There are countless examples of magicians losing their minds and becoming like beasts themselves. Deep magic is not to be trifled with."
Richter was initially irritated at being scolded in such a manner, but he controlled himself. It actually seemed quite easy to rein in his emotions. He realized his new skill was already coming to bear. Instead of snapping, he said in a measured voice,
"I appreciate your concern, Chamberlain. I quite agree with you about the dangers. You must trust me that I'm taking steps to deal with this."
Randolphus looked at him for another moment before nodding resignedly. The two men started walking again and didn't speak until they were sitting across from each other at the conference table. The Chamberlain stared at his liege and said,
"Lord Richter, you were almost killed. Again. I saw you before Lady Sumiko healed you. There was a rock sticking out of the top of your head. When it was removed, I could see that it had left a dent in your skull. If anyone other than a life master had been here, you would have died or been left with permanent brain damage."
Randolphus took a deep breath before continuing.
"I have the utmost respect for you, my lord. I have the utmost respect for what you have done and sacrificed for your people. I would be remiss, however, if I did not say that you are taking too many risks. You do not need to lead every assault, and you do not need to conquer every dungeon. I do what I can to make this village more successful, but you must help me."
While the man had been talking, Richter could see the stress in his Chamberlain. He saw the toll that running the village had taken on his seemingly tireless steward. Randolphus had seen to the daily activities of hundreds of people, of various cultures and various races. Not once had the man complained or wavered. Seeing him lose his cool now, though, Richter realized that he had been asking too much. Richter leaned in and put a hand on Randolphus's shoulder.
"I'm sorry. You're right that I need to support you more. You are truly invaluable, and I think this village would fall apart without you. I cannot tell you that I will stop taking risks, because I believe the time is soon coming where my strength will be tested. All of our lives may depend on how powerful I will have become when that happens. That means I must sacrifice, gamble, and accept the pain that comes from pushing the boundaries of what I am currently capable of. With all that being said, though, what can I do to help?"
Silence presided over the table for several moments before Randolphus said,
"Well, I do have some reports I need to go over with you."
Richter gave a long-suffering sigh, softened by a faint smile at the end, and said,
"Of course you do. What's the first item on the agenda?"
Chapter 3, Day 111, Qubourne 1, 15,368 EBG. The two men talked for a good hour and a half. Richter also authorized Randolphus to hire two of the workers to serve as dedicated aides. The relief on the Chamberlain's face was comical. For a second, Richter felt bad for whomever Randy chose to help out, sure that the man would be a taskmaster, but then he figured it was tough all around. While they had been speaking, Richter had sent Futin to retrieve Sumiko.
The Sprite Life Master entered the room with her usual flair.
Who said that you could get out of bed? Your brains were hanging half out when you came back. The bones could still be setting together. If you like having a large crack in your skull, I can give you another.
She shook her cane at him threateningly. Richter raised both hands to placate her.
Thank you, Sumiko. You have saved me again. I truly don't know what I would do without you.
She sniffed at him in disdain, but didn't start haranguing him again. Richter took that as a good sign and continued.
I was told that everyone from the war party is all right. I hope that you can confirm that.
Sumiko rolled her eyes and huffed.
Yes, though many were in almost as bad shape as you were. Those two mages are still resting and being checked over by some of my healers. They both suffered massive internal trauma and will need to be healed in stages. You are lucky you didn't suffer any major brain damage, or you would be lying beside them in that pitiful excuse for an infirmary you have me working in. There is no guarantee that even I could repair that type of damage.
Richter felt a chill. Despite his quasi-immortal status, it was both a useful and frightening reminder that there were worse things than death. Living as a vegetable was not his idea of a good time. Richter thanked her again and also told her that he had picked up on her not-so-subtle hint. Making the healer's hut was a priority.
What about Alma? Are her wings okay?
This was the other main reason he had wanted to speak with the healer. Sumiko cast a quick spell and extended her hand towards the dragonling. A nimbus of gold light surrounded both her hand and Alma, and a thin tether of the same light connected them. The healer closed her eyes and lowered her head, concentrating. Soon, she opened her eyes and smiled fondly down at the familiar, though. The spell faded and Sumiko reached out and unbound the bandage. As soon as her wings were free, Alma gave a cry of joy and launched into the air, circling above their heads. To Richter's delight, her delicate scales had regenerated as well.
The vessels and nerves in her wing are small and delicate,
Sumiko said, watching the dragonling.
It wasn't anything overly complicated, but as I had never healed a dragonling before, I wanted to make sure that everything was repaired correctly. My diagnostic spell showed that the two wings are working exactly the same, though.
Alma swooped low over the table, twisting in the air.
As you can clearly see,
Sumiko said with a small laugh. Richter thanked her again and stood. He and Randolphus had already finished their work, and Richter was starting to feel a bit stir-crazy. He felt the need to feel the wind on his face. Telling Randolphus that he needed to check on something, he bid them both goodbye and walked out of the room. Upon crossing the Great Seal, he decided to make a quick stop in the treasury. He gathered several bars of elementum and all of the quicksilver, cobalt, moonstone, and high steel he had left there. Each ingot went into his bag. With the bag's weight-reducing properties and his high strength, Richter barely noticed the increase in load. He left the treasury and walked out into the hallway that led outside. A mental summons to the shale adder was all it took for the monster to slide up alongside him. Alma flew above him, casting shade-filled glances at the large snake. Futon floated along silently just behind his right shoulder. With this kind of posse, Richter realized that all he needed was some theme music. Since there was none to be had, he just imagined the theme song to Green Hornet. Several hundred yards later, the motley band emerged from the tunnel and looked down from the top of the hill that led down to the village. It was still rather early, and the sun had not yet risen. There was a stillness to the village. Faint wisps of smoke rose from one of the longhouse chimneys, but that was the only movement that Richter could see. The feeling was magnified by the barely visible overlay of magical mist. Richter looked out to the boundaries of the village and the 5-foot wall that ringed the settlement. Torches were set periodically into the defensive wall. As he took in the view, he was struck by the fact that there was a glaring hole in the defenses of the village. It was just too damn dark out. There was no way that the guards could see more than 30 feet past the wall with only firelight to provide illumination. Maybe they could see a bit further if Quasia and her dark novices were casting dark vision like they had said they would, but the presence of the torches argued against that. Richter thought about it for a moment, thinking what they really needed were street lights. A smile broke over his face. Actually, Maybe they just needed the Mist Village equivalent.
Futin, if I summon Mist Lights, can you move them about?
I can, Lord Richter, the Remnant replied in his deadpan voice.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Richter used his personal mana to summon